You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And today we have Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and also David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Volatility reigns supreme. David Shapiro, start with you. I mean, it's all over the place, the market.
It is. And it's very difficult to grip what's happening or to position yourself or to even understand the movements that we are seeing. A lot has to do with Trump. Lindsay, you know, I'm believing that he's getting himself into real hot water with his very, I would say, bullying attitude towards China.
Yes,
and he knows. I think this so-called, you know, all we're hearing at the moment is this risk inversion. What's it? The yield inversion,
yes.
And which will lead to a recession. And suddenly, he's saying, "Hold on, this he can't afford this. He can't afford the market." And I'm sure that Mr. Xi is saying, "I know where you are, Mr. Trump. I'm going to hold back. You're going to eventually come to me. I'm not coming to you." And that's how I think this is going to play out. He's very brave at the moment, Mr. Trump. He's very bullying. But he cannot afford this market to, or the, you know, the, I'm talking the equity market, to continue downwards or to give up a lot of ground. So I think we're in for a very interesting time. You know, Mr. Trump was calling Mr. Xi, you know, great leader, good leader. You're my good friend. And he's saying, hold on a sec. Mr. Xi not buying this. So, and I know they also came out with a message, just leave Hong Kong to us. It's got nothing to do with the trade deal. And don't try leverage off that. So I think this is going to play out in China's favor.
I think so too. And I also think that what we don't understand is that the Chinese are the really, really big buyers of U.S. Treasuries. The inversion of the yield between the 2-year and the 10-year is very, very significant indeed. And if China suddenly says, well, we're not going to buy anymore, I mean, it may be to their detriment. But on the other hand, if they want some leverage, if they want to gain some ground on this stupid trade war, then they can do that via a number of measures, either devaluing the yuan or they can stop buying treasuries. It's stupid. Greg, what has happened on the market today? It's been all over the place, I think.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I mean, I was just Googling you, but the game of chess was invented in China. And I think we're having a giant game of chess. Our boy in the US, I hope he's got some, you know, Big Blue or one of those big computers to help him win this game. But yeah, it's going to be tricky. Yeah, it was a wild day on the market. We sort of swung sort of bipolar from super positive to super negative. At the end of the day, the all share down 262 points. Must say, all of this churning with news has been good for the volume on the JSE, but certainly as brokers getting more and more gray hairs because you just don't know how to position yourself, and the news flow is so rapid. And themes are everything's fine with China, everything terrible with China, and we flip almost on a daily basis between those two themes. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the most viewed shares on sharenet.co.za today, Steinhoff down 7.2%, Sasol
it's
down at 116 now. I mean, it wasn't long ago, it was what? It was over £2 a share. And this is
it had a spike up to 150 on the day of that results, or whatever nonsense they spoke
something
about.
Sasol 278, which is flat. Aspen down 1.8%. I spoke to Stephen Sard's PA, the excellent Shauneen Bierkes, and she said, we're in a closed period. We can't speak to you, but we'd love to. 68.29 for Aspen. Sibania down 1.5%. But as you say, all over the place, Greg. We were up 0.2% when we spoke on the opening this morning, and now the all shares closed, what, down 0.5%?
Yes, just on 0.5%, 262 points down. So we traded most of the day watching the Dow futures, which swung from a negative to a positive. At the moment, the Dow's down 46, which, I mean, is of no use to anybody. You sort of, you don't even raise an eyebrow unless it's a 250-point move at this point.
Exactly. David, I was speaking to a fund manager around about 45 minutes ago, and I said, what would you do if you had been away for 2 or 3 years and
where's all my money gone?
you said to somebody, I'm going away for 2 or 3 years now, and you came back and you saw Aspen and Discovery and all these other shares. What would you do? What would your reaction be? Would you say, let's get out of some more? Or would you say to yourself, these are the bargains of the century? It's an interesting question. What would you do?
It is. It's your whole, I don't know at this stage. I think it's too volatile to make that decision. I think you've got to just hold back and wait for it to settle, because we're not sure where it's going. You know, I think I mentioned yesterday or the day before, when we start to see big chunks moving, like 8% and 5%, that's too volatile to decide. Mm. It's got to get down to 1.5% either way, or even 0.25%. Then we can make up our minds. I think we're going to have an intermittent bottom. In other words, it'll stabilize now as bargain hunters try to find the bottom. But I don't think we're finished. Maybe this downturn yet. What will turn it around? The only thing that can turn it around is foreign markets. We always see that in the rand. You know, when you suddenly see the dollar under a bit of pressure, equities in the U.S. running away. Yeah, then our market gets a bit of comfort, and so we move up. So I think that's the only thing that's going to swing us around and put us into any kind of positive mood.
Greg, looking at the Stock Exchange News Service announcements today, I'm just looking at one here. Imperial Logistics trading statement for the 12 months ended 30th of June. The share price up around about 2%, obviously bucking the trend in the market. Imperial Logistics, what did you see from that trading statement?
Yes, obviously not Imperial Logistics because of the unbundling of Motus, which took place a couple of months ago. And I think that obviously the point of all these unbundlings is to unlock value. And this is the first set of numbers I think we've had with it separate. Market sort of welcoming the news. It came out at 11. I'm just looking at it. Actually, the stock spiked as the announcement came out. Finished the day up 2.5%, 47 Rand 23. So not a bad performance.
Sasol has announced an acquisition of beneficial interest in Sasol Securities. David Shapiro, would you be a beneficial interester in Sasol Securities?
I don't think that makes any difference to Sasol in any way at all. At the moment, they're still under pressure because of the oil price. Right. You know, even though this is a Lake Charles play and it's a polyethylene play, the rand and the oil price still have some impact. And the oil price still under a little bit of pressure.
So that's prudential. You know, you've taken it just beyond 5%. So I think how it works is the triggers are at 5%. So they may have bought a small amount of shares, but that triggered if the 5%, and then. But I suppose people are averaging down. We all do.
Well, they see this as bargain, and they're beginning to believe in the research. I suppose at these kind of levels, it's got to be a buy somewhere along the line. Someone's got to feel it's a buy. But we haven't seen enough of those 5%. You know, they're the only ones, unless everybody's over that level at all. But that's what worries me, is that no one else has come in with the big money wanting to buy up shares. We still haven't seen it in any big way at all.
Yes, so, what you need is a big foreign fund.
They're not coming.
Don't hold your breath.
We used, Greg and I used to work with a fine fellow whose name was Benji. I won't mention his second name, but he used to say, what you've been talking about now, as a market is falling, he used to say, double up to catch up, chief. And I think that's maybe.
You said it in the right accent as well.
Yeah. Yes, it's a very pommy thing.
RCL Foods. RCL Foods, further trading statement.
Yeah, it was a disappointment, and its price has been trading badly for some time. It actually dipped on the news down as low as 9.75 Rand, and then I see in the last that someone was naughty, because it was trading at 10 Rand. Must be one of the guys at Sasfin. Jumped the share up to 10.97 and 1100. I'm sure it wasn't one of my traders. They would never dream of doing so. It's bluffing us a little bit. It's showing up 0.64%. But if you look at the VWAP, the volume weighted average price is just above 10 Rand. So a poor update, really. It's troubling that the space which they're in, they moved into sugar, and it's obviously got Remgro as a parent, but it seems to be a little bit directionless at the moment.
David Shapiro, Impala Platinum Holdings Limited trading statement for the year ended 30th of June. You're not a commodities fan, but on the other hand, you can't ignore the extraordinary performance of Impala since October of last year.
Look, it's an extraordinary performance, but I was talking to Greg earlier. You know, when you look at the actual operational performance, it's great, but then you go and look at the below the line. You know, I'm an accountant, and I look at the proper accounts, which are the ones that they submit to the tax man and the ones that they submit to the Companies Act when they file their accounts. And that shows a different picture because there's a lot of impairments around there that they don't come into their headline earnings number. So the smoothed earnings, if you want to say that, is very good. But, you know, when you're still writing off, you lay out cash to make investments. And when you have impairments of the kind of nature that they're putting through now, that's actual money lost because this was money laid out, which you're not going to recover in terms of earnings. The other thing which is quite interesting is that because the share price had gone up beyond the conversion, remember we spoke earlier about the conversion of those bonds, convertible? Yeah. Because the share price at which they issued the shares is significantly higher than the actual option price, they had to impair that as well or a mark-to-market.
In other words,
you know, so if the conversion price was at 100, effectively, you're issuing – you had a new issue and the share price was 150, you'd issue them at 150, but you have to issue them at the conversion price, which is 100. So there's effectively a loss made. It's not a cash loss, but you could have made more than you did.
I looked at what the forecast was for between 614 and 620. Then it came in at 450. And then exactly what you're saying, because of that impairment, that's another R2 down. So
it's
a long way between 620 and 250. Yeah. And initially the share did spike down. Again, these algos are so quick to trade. Took the share down to R70.50. Finished the day at R72.60. Down 2.5%. Not too bad. Some good volume going there, about 250 million rands of the shares trading.
The gold sector has been in focus today, Greg Davies. We won't involve David Shapiro here because he's obviously got psychological issues when it comes to gold shares because of a traumatic experience when he was 12 years old on the JSE in Diagonal Street. But Greg, we had Goldfield results out and also a trading statement from Harmony.
Yeah, both interesting. And in Goldfields, it's interesting. We chatted this morning on the opening, and we looked through it, and there's problems at South Deep, costs getting out of control. But overall, the share was performing in line with its peers. Then when the U.S. markets opened, they took a look at that South Deep situation and, you know, the slowing earnings, the growing costs, and they whacked the share. It finished the day down 9.7%. And keep in mind that the gold index is only down 2.75%. And I do remember that sell-off that we had on Tuesday when the gold price dropped. This one got clobbered 15% while the others were still bad, but the 10 to 11%. So those numbers not being favored in the U.S. for sure.
No, I mean, do the U.S. markets drive our gold shares these days, Greg?
There's no South Africans that own these gold shares. That's just me and a few of my punters. First, all these crazy Americans.
Yeah. Okay, in that case, let's have a look at the...
That South Deep is... I mean, it's such a... they've been battling this for I don't know how many generations and still... And yet, it's such a rich mine that they just cannot get the benefits that when they did the initial... feasibility. Hasn't come in. It was wonderful. I mean, it's about, I think if you keep digging, you're going to end up in Australia. I mean, that's how deep it is. But
the thing is, imagine you managing gold. Do you keep throwing more money at it in the hope to get some money back? Or do you just go, there's the towel, we've had enough?
Well, they've thrown in half the towel, hey.
Surely technology means that eventually they will be able to go 4 or 5 kilometres down and get this beautiful ore body out of the ground and flog it at $1,500 an ounce. Surely. I mean, I don't know if any of you have a gold mining background, but maybe this is the future. Some new technology will come to the fore and out comes the gold. No?
Well, I mean, without sending people down there.
Yeah.
Yes, without sending them down there.
And I think most of the expense is actually keeping it cool. You know, once you start digging there, it's pretty hot territory. And I think not only the technology of going that far, but I mean also sending people down in this huge heat, in this incredible heat. So,
But I think also the way the ore body is lying, it's not as easy to extract. It's not like a traditional mine where you dig a shaft and go sideways. These reefs are at huge angles, and I think that's the expense of getting to them. I think that's and obviously the engineering test really.
Greg, never mind South Deep, which is your obsession. What about Harmony? Just give us the trading action today on Harmony after their trading statement.
Yeah, the trading statement. I didn't think it was too bad. A couple of little impairments, and straight away, the local punters had knocked the share back, put in a low of 43.49. But then, as the afternoon drew on, it rallied back, finished at 45.30, down 1.25%. But I think it's a relatively good performance, better than the gold index, and it looked like some strong buying coming in, especially in the auction, a big line of stock trading there.
Dollar rand is 15.27. The British pound against the rand is 18.51. The euro rand is 16.96. The euro dollar 111.03. This is quite a big move. This is a 0.33% rally in the US dollar and weakness, obviously, in the euro. It doesn't sound like much, but 0.33% in one of the biggest financial markets in the world is quite significant. So let's see what that has done to dollar-based commodity prices. Well, actually, it means the gold price is up 2 to 1518. The platinum price is down 6 to 840. And palladium, Greg, I always have to go to you because ShareNet still doesn't update its prices.
No problem.
Go on.
Up $18 at 1446.
5813 is the Brent crude oil price, which is down a dollar. Yeah. And that's quite a big move. It's down 1.75%. And you've got the Dow Jones down a handful of points, maybe 25 points. S&P down a little bit as well. So it's flip-flopping all over the place. Mm. David, tell us about the inverted yield curve between the 2-year and the 10-year. This is your area of expertise. What on earth is going on?
Well, obviously, the flight to safety is bringing down yields. Concerns about what the trade wars will have, the effect that trade wars will have on global growth. You know, we saw yesterday some really poor numbers out of China. We saw poor numbers out of Europe. In fact, what's happened today with the euro is that there was talk that they might introduce some very strong stimulus measures, and that's why the euro has actually gone down. You know, in other words, it's further reduction of interest rates and further buying of bonds. So the euro is under pressure. So I think put that together with the issues that we're having in Hong Kong at the moment and how that will impact the global economy as well. It's still a trading center. There has been the flight out of equities, fears of an economic slowdown and the push into bonds. So what that's done is that the amount of money that's gone into the U.S. has taken the 10-year, I don't know where it is now, about 1.60%, which is a multi-year low.
Just and below, actually.
The 30-year has gone down below 2%.
That's extraordinary.
And the 2-year remains at almost the same level as the 10-year. So the fear, the traditional fear, or the there's always a fear that if your long rates go below your short rates, it's hinting that things are going to slow down even further. It normally associated with inflation as well. It means that, you know, inflation is going to come down because of lack of demand. But in this case, Lindsay, and you know, normally when you get an inversion of the yield curve, interest rates are much higher. Yeah. In other words, the short rate is much higher than a 1.6 or something. You know, it's closer to 4 or 5. And your long bonds are starting to come down below 4 or so, and so, et cetera. So there's much more of a swing to that yield curve. At this stage, everything's flat. So I'm not sure that that in place are the elements that would lead to a recession, like any bubble-type situation. The equity markets are not grossly overpriced. Inflation is not an issue. Yes, governments have borrowed a lot, but I don't think there's huge corporate debt, or there's no suggestion of any assets that are overpriced and so on. So I'm not an economist, and I'm not versed in this well enough to really add anything to the conversation, but it just doesn't seem right. You know, it doesn't seem to me that the world's ready to go into recession, a slowdown as we're seeing at the moment, but I don't think major crunch. But don't take me as an expert on this.
No, we definitely won't.
The way the markets are now, you know, things, the situation is so volatile that, you know, anything can happen at any moment, really.
Gentlemen, I've got to speak to Michael Mark, the CEO of Truworths, in a moment. Their results have just come out. They've just been posted on the Stock Exchange News Service. Very, very late indeed, 17:21. I'm speaking to him in 3.5 minutes' time, and they look terrible. Retail sales up 3.7%. Gross margin, operating margin. Diluted earnings per share down 66.8%. Adjusted down 6.5%. Diluted headline earnings per share down 8.5%. I mean, what would you ask him? I need advice from both of you.
There's an impairment there as well, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
These numbers don't look good.
I think, you know, the big issue is they headed into the UK. And
that's never happened, really.
No, I mean,
well spotted, really, David.
No, what I'm saying, when they go into the UK, you know, everyone expects this area to actually add to your earnings, not take away from your earnings. And the unfortunate experience, that's what I'm saying. You know, so this is just another one of those issues where this is certainly not gone the way that they wanted. And you know, literally, we keep discussing this. I always wonder whether, and the question probably is Michael, say to Michael, Michael, did you go and look, did you say, hell, we've got to go for this company? Or
Office.
Alternatively, that's Office. You know, have you seen Office?
Yeah.
You know Office. You've been there.
It's
nothing more than a shoe store.
It's a terrible shop. I'm sorry.
Of course it is. And who brought? Did someone bring it to them, or did they go and say, "Oh, we want Office"? You know,
someone brought it to them.
Of course, and that's what happens, Lindsay.
We always think as soon as they have the South African accent, they go, "Okay, put 30% on the price."
Yeah, but it's these smart investment bankers that come across from the UK with their fancy accents that have suckered us
what
into
do you mean?
All these kind of deals.
What do you mean? You say you've got a fancy accent?
No, it's Eton. It's an Oxbridge accent, Lindsay. Not the Ipswich one.
That's very nice. Greg Davies? I don't know how to take that, really. Greg Davies, please give us the closing JSE indices, please, before I speak to Michael Mark in 1.5 minutes' time. Off you go.
All right. Banks up 3.5. Financials up 1.9. Industrials up 0.57. Retailers up 1.25. Gold index down 2.7. Platts down 3%, resources down 2%. So that dragged us into a negative, down 0.35%. It's 189 points lower, off the worst levels from this morning. But we close at 53,841, 23.1 billion rands worth of shares trading hands.
Changing hands. Very good, Greg. Thank you very much. And Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. He was joined by David Shapiro from Sassman Securities.
Yeah,
I nearly forgot. Exactly. After all the insults, I just suddenly forgot. Anyway, gentlemen, we'll be back on Tuesday together. And that was The 5 o'clock Shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.